Welcome to the Redemption Church Podcast. We are located in Seattle, Washington. As a church, we want to be a community of faithfully present people with God, self, and others. We hope that this encourages you to do the same wherever you are. And thanks for joining us.
All right, Redemption, we're going to jump into the sermon for today. If you're new here, my name is Alex, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the privilege and opportunity of walking through the Word of God again today with you. If you're new, or if you're a member and just haven't heard it in a minute, I want to remind everyone of the vision of Redemption Church. It's very simple. It's not flashy, but it is a biblically faithful response to all that God has done in the gospel. Here's our vision. Redemption Church is striving to be a faithfully present community in our relationship with God, self, and others. I'll say that again. Redemption Church is striving to be a faithfully present community in our relationship with God, self, and others. And this is no passive, sit on the sideline kind of, yeah, that sounds very nice and spiritual kind of vision. No, it's a call to show up and speak up, right? It's a call to action. It's a call to mission. It's a call to get involved and do something. That's the vision of faithful presence. To be faithfully present to God, we're talking about immersing ourselves in Scripture regularly. We're talking about praying, really praying. We're reminding ourselves that God is with us always. And so we're staying in tune with Him. We're walking in the Spirit. We're staying in step with Him. We're abiding. That's faithful presence to God. Being faithfully present to yourself means, Paul would say, I watch my life and doctrine closely. Solomon would say, guard your heart. For from it flows the wellspring of life. The idea is to pay attention to your habits, pay attention to who you're becoming, pay attention to what you used to love and what you love now, or how, just watch your life. Be faithfully present to yourself. Pay attention. How do you feel? What are you thinking about? Where's your mind going? Who are you becoming day by day? Be present. Pay attention. Nobody stumbles into being a godly man or woman by accident. Paying attention, you know. Being faithfully present to others, both inside and outside the church. And being faithfully present to others here at Redemption, it means church is not just some weekend hobby, some optional thing that you could do, like take it or leave it. No. To be faithfully present to the body of Christ understands I'm actually part of the body of Christ. If one part suffers, I suffer. If one part's rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. Like, that's what I mean. I'm going to show up and I want to build up the body of Christ. So to be about Hebrews chapter 3, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, that we're about building each other up consistently. And not just inside the body, but outside the body of Christ. Acts 17 says that God's ordained the times and places in which people live so that we might reach out toward God. You know, God ordained your address. Where we are right now, our city is so dark. There's so many people that don't know Jesus. And yet we are a church, a beacon of light, that are given the wonderful opportunity to announce the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation we have now with God in Christ. Like that we go, I want to be faithfully present to those in my life that don't know Jesus. My neighbors, my coworkers, family members, friends, like to be faithfully present, to really have a listening ear. Be faithfully present. That's what we're doing as a community. Now, today in the book of Acts, we're going to hear about largely about what it is to be faithfully present to others inside the church. So let me summarize what's gone on so far in the first 15 chapters, and I'll be very brief. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus had been crucified, buried, and was gloriously resurrected from the dead. Acts, the second part Luke, Acts is a two-volume work. When you open Acts, you see Jesus there in Jerusalem with the apostles, and he instructs them in a few things. And one is, wait here, I'm going to ascend back to the Father. When I do, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So a few days pass, and Jesus then does just that. He ascends back to the right hand of the Father. He sends the Holy Spirit at Pentecost into the church, empowering them to do signs and wonders and miracles, to boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel. And as they do, Gentiles begin converting and Jews begin converting. And yet there's a party of the Jews that don't, and they rise up in great hostility against the Christians, causing many of them to be dispersed and scatter throughout the empire, primarily landing in places like Syria or Turkey. And so as they go north, they're taking the good news of Jesus, and they're telling people along the way, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And they see a lot of fruit. They see many Gentiles, thousands and thousands of Gentiles begin converting. A church is planted in Syria in the city of Antioch, and that becomes the home base, the sending mission center, where they are training up disciples, raising up theologians, raising up men and women to go out and preach the gospel. They're sending out missionaries, two of whom, Paul and Barnabas, that we see recorded in Acts chapter 13 and 14, going out on their missionary journey. So they go out, they sail to Cyprus and then up into Turkey. And they're going from city to city and they're being persecuted. Paul on one occasion was stoned and survives and continues to get up and keep preaching Jesus. And disciples are being made. Well, they eventually get back to Antioch, and some Pharisees from down south had come up and had begun to teach the new Christians in Antioch, yeah, you can have Jesus, but you need to add something too. It's called the law of Moses. Man, you need to be circumcised. Everybody, you need to use the dietary laws. We got a few things for you to do. Jesus plus Moses, you could be okay. Which Paul and Barnabas get so upset about, because you're saying there's something wrong with our Jesus? You say there's something wrong, that Jesus isn't sufficient? No. And so they start going back and forth. Well, they eventually go down south, back to Jerusalem. They meet with Peter, they meet with James, they meet with the apostles and all the elders, and they have it out, a big theological debate, and they finally come to the conclusion, okay, Gentiles, you are good. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. You do not have to abide by the law of Moses, but you do need to abstain from a few things that are associated with pagan idol worship in throughout the Roman Empire. Things like sexual immorality, things like drinking blood, things and don't consume meat that's been strangled in pagan worship, things like that. So that's their conclusion. That's where we wrapped up last week. This week, they're going to actually send Paul, Barnabas, Judas, not Iscariot, another disciple, Judas and Silas. They're all going to travel up together back to Antioch and let the Gentiles know, here's the conclusion. They're going to read a letter. So here you go. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, it says, then it seemed good to the apostles and elders and the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers. So he sent some strong leaders with the following letter. The brothers with the apostle, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Notice they're using brotherhood language. They're calling Gentiles their brothers because they are, because they have a common father now. Okay. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, we didn't tell them to do this. It seemed good to us, having come to one accord. So we all agreed unanimously here to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so first, just notice that they even refer to him going, okay, we're sending Paul and Barnabas, our beloved. How they thought about their church leaders, they called them beloved. They weren't just employees. They weren't just men called by God, but they had a relationship with them going, they're the beloved. What a way to speak about each other. They've risked their lives for Jesus. We therefore sent Judas and Silas from here in Jerusalem, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. So it's not like Paul and Barnabas are going to show up with a letter and say, oh, we got this letter down there, and this is what it says. No, they even sent other men for accountability's sake to explain it. They'll tell you the same thing. They live down here in Jerusalem. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. Pause right there. It seemed that way. It seemed that way. Like, the fact that I love how they talk so normally about this as Christians. You know, there are moments in the Bible where God parts the heaven and speaks. There's moments in the Bible where a prophet walks up and says a word from the Lord. There's moments where an angel will appear and deliver a message. There's all kinds of like phenomenal moments. And yet the Bible's also good to give us language like this. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit, meaning we sat around in our collective wisdom. We weighed it all out. We prayed it through. It seemed good. This is what seems right. This seems like this is where God's leading us. I can't tell you how many meetings I've walked out of. I'm sure you have too as Christians going, it seems this way. I'm making the best judgment that I know how. Given the fact that I know I'm a Christian, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm reading the Word, I'm in community, it seems good. It seems good to us and the Holy Spirit to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain what's been sacrificed to idols and for blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you'll do well. Farewell. So, when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch and gathered the congregation together. They delivered the letter, and when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. The men in particular were probably very encouraged. Oh, good. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Okay, Judas and Silas were prophets, meaning they were telling the truth. Prophets have different, there's different ways the Bible uses the word prophets, or prophets function within Scripture. Prophets are sometimes, they foretell the truth, or foretell the future rather, right? They foretell it. They predict it. They say, this is what's coming, you know, and lo and behold, it comes to pass. And then there's other ways that the prophets work also. They foretell truth. So that's what they're doing here. They're forthtelling. They're being faithful to what the apostles have agreed on. They're encouraging and they're strengthening the body of Christ. They're using their gift of God to build the body of Christ. What have you been gifted to do? What are you good at? What has God equipped you to do? What's he called you to do? I know there's men and women in our church right now God is calling to use in some powerful ways. What is it? What's he calling you too. What are you gifted to do? Think it through. Let us know. All right. They encouraged them with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. So they send them back. Silas and Judas are going to go back down south, right? They're sent off. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So they're evangelizing, they're proclaiming, they're working through the word of God, they're preaching Jesus as the Messiah, and they're also teaching. They're taking time to slow down, to unpack, to explain things, to answer questions, to dialogue with the people. They're teaching. They're in community with the people. They're proclaiming, yes, but they're also taking the time to do the loving work of a teacher. So they're preaching, they're teaching. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Okay. And that's going to be the last verse for today. Just give me a couple minutes. Paul and Barnabas had journeyed 1,500 miles on their very first missionary journey. Remember? Then they had run into the debate, had gone down to Jerusalem, solved the theological problem surrounding Moses, and had come back and had been preaching and teaching back in Antioch. Simple enough, right? Paul then, after some days of preaching and teaching, looks over at his friend Barnabas, the encourager, and goes, "Hey, you know what I'm thinking about? I think we should go back to all those churches, see how they're doing. Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Syrian, Antioch, down in Cyprus. Want to go?" It's like you just traveled on foot and land and sea. You've been through persecution. You've already done the work, Paul. Aren't you done, man? Like you were sent out and you preached the gospel. Yes, that was faithful. You planted churches. That was faithful. You established local leaders. That was faithful. You're good, man, right? Paul's like, Barnabas, you want to go back and see how they're doing? Like, what's driving Paul to do that? Why does he want to go see how they're doing? Because he's not a control freak and he's not middle management. What's gotten a hold of Paul? The glory of God. And not just the glory of God, he has the heart of Jesus for the people. I want to see how they are doing. This is the very essence of, that's the heart of pastoral ministry. And it's the essence of what it means to be faithfully present to others. I want to see how you're doing. That's what Paul's doing. So I want to see how they're doing. That is, I want to go check in with those pastors that we trained up, raised money, got places for them to meet, right? I want to see how they're doing. I want to check in on the pastors. How are they doing? Are they tired? Are they scared? Are they afraid? Are they lonely? Are they discouraged? I want to go back and strengthen them. Are they excited? What are the pastors talking about in these churches? Let's go see all these pastors. Let's talk to them. Want to go? It's an adventure. I want to see how the churches are doing. How are the people doing? You know, there's that couple in Iconium. Their marriage was on the rocks. I want to see how they're doing. You know, there's that family in Derby. They're about to have a baby. I want to see how they're doing. I want to go back to Antioch in Syria. I want to go see how they're doing. I want to see, are they maturing in the gospel? Are they growing in maturity and faith in Christ? I want to see, how are they doing? Are they giving? Are they sacrificial? Are they generous? Are they kind? Are they full of the fruit of the Spirit? I want to see how they're doing. I want to see if they know how to repent of sin. I want to see if they know how to reconcile with each other when they don't get along. I want to see how they're doing. I want to see how they're serving one another in the body of Christ. I want to see if they're meeting each other's needs or if people are going without. I want to see how they're doing in the city. I want to see if they're pursuing justice outside the walls of the church. Do they care about their neighbor down the street? I want to see how they're doing. Are they telling other people that there's a Savior in heaven that loves them? Are they evangelizing other people or are they falling asleep at the wheel? I want to see how they're doing. I want to check in on them. I want to encourage them. I want to strengthen them. I want to remind them of all that God has done and all that He's called them to do and to be. I want to see how they're doing. This is why the elders at Redemption strive to faithfully check in. This is why life group leaders are faithful to check in. This is why we encourage all the members of the church. Check in on your friends. Reach out to them. You know, we can sell ourselves short and miss out on some great opportunities because we get deceived when it comes to faithful gospel ministry. We might be deceived into thinking, oh, well, I guess I need a PhD in theology in order to really do something for the Lord. Or maybe I just need to do something kind of heroic and move to like Thailand and plant a church or something like that. You know, and those are great things to do. But you know what I've noticed in my 40 years in the church is that God works through the ordinary, mundane, everyday disciplines of prayer, reading your Bible, checking in on each other. Do you know how far a text message of encouragement actually goes? Buggy texted me yesterday, and I had no idea. It just came in out of nowhere, and I was so unbelievably tired and just feeling, honestly, pretty discouraged. And it was amazing. It's just like, hey, I was just thinking about you, praying for you. Thank you for serving during this time. I know it's got to be so hard. Love you. It's like, wow. Just sitting there at my desk going, you have no idea how much I needed that. Thank you. You know how far just a text goes, a phone call, a walk around the lake, go grab a coffee, spend some time with somebody, be faithfully present, and see how they're doing. You know, I get the feeling that so many people aren't heard these days. Nobody's really listening to anybody. And you know, one of the greatest joys I get as a pastor is I get to listen to people. But you get to do that thing too. To be present, to listen. How you doing? How you doing? Oftentimes, even if we ask the question, how you doing, we don't want a real answer. But what if we did? How you doing? And just be present to the answer that comes back. Well, I'm kind of in a fight with my wife right now. It's not fun. How you doing? Well, I got this doctor report that I haven't told anybody about. How you doing? Well, I didn't get into that grad program that I was really hoping to. I'm really struggling with that. How you doing? Well, I'm struggling with my faith lately. I don't know. How you doing? A lot of times we don't want the true answer, but what if we did? I'm telling you, what if there was a church in Seattle? What if it was our church in Seattle that was bright and vibrant with questions like, how you doing? Friends that were willing to check in on one another. That's the heart of Jesus. So in conclusion, you go, man, all right, I'm in. However, Alex, I know St. Paul was diligent to do that. I don't know if I can do that because people are messy and they take time. Where do I get the strength to, the motive to put the gas in the tank to keep checking in with people and caring about people and helping lift each other's burdens and so on? Where do I get the strength to do that? And the answer, like always, is in Jesus and the good news of the gospel. You see, prior to the incarnation, before Jesus came down here, he didn't have to ask the question, how you doing? He saw how you were doing. And he stepped out of heaven, lived the sinless life, died on the cross for your sins, and was resurrected from the grave to make you righteous before God. How do you get the strength to faithfully, to show up and be faithfully present to other people, check in on people? Knowing that sometimes it's going to be messy and sometimes it's going to be great. Where do you get the strength to faithfully do it? But keeping your eyes on the one who is faithfully present to you at all times. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Those are Jesus's words. So let's practice that this week, church. Reach out, touch base, connect with one another, even if it has to be socially distanced or through a phone call. Touch base. Love you.
Thanks again for joining us. If you want more information about our church or would like to come visit us on a Sunday, go to redemptionseattle.com.